Good afternoon, everyone. Thank you for having me here. And you are all expert in small business, so I don't have to give you much background, but I'm from Philadelphia Fed, and I have to remind you that everything that I say today is my own view and not the view of the Federal Reserve Bank of Philadelphia or the Federal Reserve System. And so this fintech and alternative data and small business lending is my favorite topic of research. And you can find many of my papers on the Philadelphia Fed website. And one of them actually used Funding Circle data. And we started that actually before Steve became the CEO of Funding Circle. You have been in this role for about 5 months.
Yeah, just 4 months. Yeah, 4 months. So this was long before my time. I can't take credit for any of it.
But Steve has been with many, many fintech companies before you came to Funding Circle.
Yep.
And so I'm Lending Club too. I have also used Lending Club data for my research on the Fed website. Yep. So Ryan Rosette, actually you founded your Credibly 12 years ago.
Correct.
So you have been the CEO for 12 years.
Yes, I have.
So this is my favorite topic. And I don't know if you want to give some background information on Credibly or Funding Circle before we get started.
I think when we start, we can give a little bit of information.
Okay, sure. So I don't have to tell you all how important small businesses have been to the U.S. economy, right? Because it accounts for about 50% of U.S. GDP. And so one unique thing about small businesses is that they are more opaque than other corporations, and so it's much harder for them to get funding that they need because there is no long historical financial record. And so it used to be that these small business owners would rely much on the local community bankers who live in the same community and have and soft information about them, right? So there's relationship lending. But the entire landscape has changed. Now we are in this digital economy where we don't have to be in the proximity with the person to actually have this soft information, because information has been collected, everything we do is out there. And so now fintech has played a big role. We also see that banks are now withdrawing from this small business lending. And so we see that small banks are losing market share to large banks, and also the overall banking industry have been losing market share to non-bank lenders, and fintech is one of the big players in this market now. So it is fintech also play a big role. We heard earlier in PPP during the pandemic, using alternative data when FICO score was not changing at all, and in fact, average FICO score was rising during the pandemic, so, because lenders were not allowed to report missing payment at the time, right? So alternative data became a very important for credit decision. Now, the entire landscape has changed again. Now, we have heard much about, now we are in a very tricky environment where interest rate is rising, more regulation. You've heard about CFPB, also data sharing. And so we have heard about what kept the bankers up at night earlier in the previous session. Now, how do you navigate this new tricky environment and find the right sweet spot to charge the right price, not too high, while don't discourage the demand, but also what keeps you up at night in this economy?
Well, there's a lot that keeps me awake at night in this economy especially. I don't know, depending on who you believe, the probability of a recession now in the U.S. is the best I've heard is about 55%. I've heard up to 99%. So undoubtedly, we've lived through a period of unprecedented good times in terms of credit performance. Even with the pandemic, because of the government stimulus, we really didn't see any kind of shock to payment performance like what we saw. You know, we have to go back as far as 2008, 2009 to see the last time when we really saw a shock. So challenging times, no question about it. But I think there's, you know, even more opportunities. Always when you have a challenging time, opportunities come out of that challenge. Funding Circle was actually founded right about the same time Lending Club was founded, which was the last recession. funding circle in the U.S. is going on about 10 years. And that's, you know, largely because banks pulled back and banks tightened, and that created the void that then fintechs stepped into. And you know, I started my career in banking. I started at a bank that's now JP Morgan Chase, and then Wells Fargo for a number of years. And you know, so there's so many things that banks do really, really well. But I think being on the bleeding edge of innovation and taking risk when times are difficult is probably not one of those things where, you know, banks shine. The business model is just too rewarding to kind of take that kind of risk. So I think it presents a great opportunity for us and a responsibility for us to leverage the capabilities of data and technology to bring better solutions to customers who need them, especially small business owners who, to your point, drive the economy. So I think there's a lot that keeps me up at night, but I'm more excited about and more focused on the opportunities, because I think we're going to see some incredible opportunities over the next few months.
Right? Yeah, right.
So what keeps me up at night? So I think, Steve, you mentioned the the last recession in 2008. There was something called a pandemic that kept, I think, anyone who was a small business lender very much awake, notwithstanding the PPP and the government, you know, and how that then subsidized small businesses and, you know, really sort of helped the lenders, you know, most lenders like sort of prevailed. We were like one of two lenders that had an asset-backed securitization that didn't go into rapid amortization. Most, you know, you tripped a covenant during that period just because there was like payment lapses and things of that nature. Today, what we do is, you know, we see certain industries and certain trends, and then we can feed that back into our loop on the origination end. So when we see missed payments and things of that nature, and then we can track it, or if we see a pattern within certain industry types, or whether it's geography or, whatever's driving some cracks in the economy. For example, trucking, logistics. It was amazing during the pandemic, okay, just because there was this whole trucking was just something that really worked until late. You know, it's something that we had 10% of our portfolio in logistics and trucking. Now we're down to 3%, but that was something that we're still kind of working what we call like a rat through the snake and kind of getting it out. But, you know, there are certain industry types and things like that we're constantly looking at. Interest rates rising, you know, kind of worries me at some level, because ultimately we're not a bank. If we borrow from banks or we use asset-backed securitization, so we pass that cost on to the customer. So ultimately the small business is going to pay the freight for this increased cost of capital that we're paying too.
Okay, great. So, and we heard from the previous session a lot of partnership between banks and fintech. Now, when I started looking at this fintech 10 years ago, there was a lot of concern that the fintech will be very disruptive and it would drive a lot of banks out of business, right? And 10 years later, we haven't seen that. But what we are seeing is actually a lot of efforts in collaboration, partnership, banking as a service, behind the scene, white label. So what have you guys been doing at your company in terms of with respect to partnership with banks and also among yourself, among the other fintech lenders or platforms?
Well, I mean, to me, it's all about access. The ability for us to be able to access a broader set of data and better technology, particularly when you got a customer's permission or credentials, and turn that into a better assessment of their creditworthiness so that we can give them better access to capital at a fairer price is why we're doing this. And you know, the way we should be approaching it is try to find as many access points as possible. So you know, Funding Circle in particular has a direct lending business, so we'll lend directly to customers with a small business product. We also operate a marketplace where we offer a bunch of other products, including products from Credibly when they make the most sense for a customer. And then in addition to that, we also just last year launched a lending as a service embedded finance business. And that's maybe the thing that I'm the most excited about. We have banks that partner with us today to fund on a forward flow basis. They buy, fund many of the loans on our platform today that we make through that direct business that I referenced earlier. But we're also, you know, we brought on three banks last year, two banks and a credit union last year, that are using Funding Circle to power their digital small business lending product for their customers. So they're able to wrap up the technology platform that Funding Circle has spent 10 years building, and maybe even more importantly, the insights that come from harvesting data and turning those into credit assessments, the balance of scoring and manual underwriting that allow us to be able to confidently underwrite more small businesses than, frankly, what those banks are doing today. So you can tell we're partnering kind of across the landscape with fintechs, with banks, with asset managers, even insurance companies that are funding those small business loans that we're making.
And you also partner with each other, right?
We sure do.
Yes, we do. Yeah, we like
in the same space, but you offer different products and
that's
also
that marketplace.
You focus on different clientele.
Correct. I mean, so there's a place for Funding Circle and there's a place for us, and we have a direct sales team where we originate a portion of our business, and that if it doesn't fit into our credit box or the customer's looking for something potentially longer term or something that Funding Circle offers that we don't, we send it there and see if we can get an approval. I mean, so that is like, you know, but that, back to your question on the partnering with banks, like where I see banks today in the credit sizes that we're offering, I can't speak for Funding Circle, our average loan size is approximately $65,000. There's no, and there never will be, in my opinion, like an economic case where a bank can actually figure out how to underwrite and make money on a $65,000 loan to a small business. That's my opinion. You know, and while $65,000 is a small amount for a bank, it's a large amount for a small business, and it oftentimes is their second largest, you know, loan besides their mortgage. So, you know, again, we're not consumer lenders, we're small business lenders, but oftentimes the small business is, we're underwriting cash flow, and then we're also underwriting the small business owner. So they're the profile and the credit characteristics of that part, the merchant that we're funding. But I do think there's opportunities to work with banks because we do get referrals from banks the same way that you're offering, you know, lending as a service. So
talking about regulations. So you, Funding Circle focuses more on installment loan. Well, credibly is you're doing more MCA, merchant cash advance, right?
60% of our business is still in loans, and then 40% is receivable.
So if there is required to disclose more information, are you guys ready for that? APR and everything?
Absolutely. Oh, absolutely. Well, let me just say this much. You can't give an APR on an MCA. You know that argument. I mean, there's like, you know, we're buying a future receivable at a discount, and there's a variable nature to it. So all we can do is offer an anticipated APR, okay, because it's a term. But, yeah, absolutely. We're in compliance with California, you know, New York, Virginia, you name it. Like and I'm all for disclosure. I fully believe that the customer should know. All we're doing is making offers. And it's the customers, you know, if they need working capital, we're providing them an option. If they can go to a bank, a bank is absolutely going to be cheaper. I mean, and I would say that to any one of our customers.
Okay.
Well, you know, from my perspective, both at Lending Club and at Funding Circle, you know, we supported, actually drove the Small Business Borrower Bill of Rights. An enormous advocate for transparency. I think if we're just focusing on the possibilities of data and technology to bring better solutions to customers, but not bringing the transparency that also comes with a digital medium, then we're not doing justice to the opportunity.
Okay, sounds good. Now tomorrow. It's a big day, isn't it? Why
for
is
SBA.
It? The SBA final rule. So yeah. A lot of the CDFI will get their permanent license.
Yep.
There will be three new slots, right? And so that will be the first time that FinTech may have an opportunity to participate directly.
Yep.
Now, one thing about the SBA is that it's guaranteed, so it's good for the lenders. But also, it's a little bit of strange to me as an outsider looking at it, because you said that these people are more risky, can't get a loan at a reasonable term anywhere else. So you get this ABA loan, but it would be a lower cost because it's capped at prime plus 4.5% to 6%. Does that make sense? And also, do you think having fintech participating directly would help to expand credit access within this SBA process?
Yeah, I mean, you know, personally, I love the SBA program. It's about, we gotta remember, it's about providing access. So it's not meant to be a profit-making endeavor for the government, but it's also not meant to be a loss-making endeavor either. So it is managed such that it can achieve the objectives of the program, which is to provide access to capital to more small business owners who need that to be able to run and grow their business. So I think that's a noble, you know, back to Jalupa, your earlier statement about 50% of the economy is small business. I think this isn't necessarily just a charitable thing that the government does. I think they know that this is what drives the economy. So I think it's a really good program. And then, you know, what's happening tomorrow and in the process of expanding that, making the CDFIs permanent licensees and opening it up to a few fintechs, I think this is a great leap forward. I think the Biden-Harris administration should be commended for this. It's been effectively a 40-year cabal, taxi cab medallion like oligopoly on those SBA licenses, where 25 financial institutions do more than half of all of the SBA lending, and 83% of community banks are not providing access to the SBA program, which in many cases is the best possible solution for their customers who are operating a small business. So I think, you know, providing some more access and leveraging some of the technology efficiency that the fintechs can bring can do nothing but good things for small business owners and for the economy. So, you know, big fans of doing this. Ryan Metcalf, who runs government affairs for Funding Circle, is probably the single person who's been the most responsible for this change. So I think it's probably a fair likelihood that we would, but we're just thrilled to be able to expand access to the program.
And Ryan, we're running out of time, but do you want to add something to this?
No. I mean, you know, I basically concur with Steve that, you know, I think it's a great program. It doesn't fit all credit boxes. I think there's like a ton of room for players to be offering SBAs as well as other working capital along with MCA. And we're happy that we do SBAs as well. We don't have a plan to apply for the license, but, you know, having a partner like Funding Circle would be a great option for us to send those customers that fit into that profile.
Terrific. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thanks to the panel. I hate to run out of time.
Thank you.